listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I ain't stunting these niggas. I ain't stunting these bitches. Two cigarellas look like extensions. Yeah, I'm from the south side, her mouth wide, my pack loud, my gat loud, I back out, I click clack, pow pow, court dates, skip trial, my rep is a reptile, an hour later, alligators, I stepped on the work like a stepchild, pimps up, hose down, make your girl pull her clothes down, her hair down and I'm down, her phone off so don't dial, this right here is no style, I don't know how I do this shit, I'm true to this, true religion, they take a swag with no permission, all year it's Gucci season, G's on my belt buckle, cocaine on my left knuckle, kill you, bury what's left of you. I don't think that last line is right. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod, Ed,
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday afternoon. Actually, yeah, kind of late start.
Doing nothing. Playing video games and shit.
Super
like
Mario
that.
2 came out on Nintendo.
Ball.
Nintendo,
yeah,
Switch.
They updated their Nintendo piece to it.
Nintendo Classic.
Yes. So they extended it, and I've always been a huge Mario 2 fan. I know most people like Mario 1 and Mario 3. Mm-hmm. Very few people love Mario 2 for whatever reason. I guess because it's so different. But the reasons why it's different is the reason why I love it. It's no time. So you literally can just take your time going through the video game, and it brought back so much nostalgia. I had a ball playing it this morning.
Yep. And then we went to Marshall's.
We did.
The hardware store.
We was a little bit of everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Grocery store.
Yeah, Marshall's was interesting because I seen somebody said that Marshall's was going to put that stuff online, but somebody brought up a good point on Twitter. Was like, halftime, y'all don't even know what the fuck is in stock. We don't even know what the fuck is in stock. Your shit changes. We'll get a bag of chips. It's delicious. Go back and it's no longer there.
Marshall's ain't nothing but a bougie Goodwill. You know what I mean?
Come on.
Like, it's got that thrift store feel to it, but it's a little bit more sophisticated. You know what I mean? It's like TJ Maxx-ish for white people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't never find two of the same things,
yeah,
ever.
Yeah, we not.
I bought a candle from there, and I still remember this was the best candle I ever smelled in my life. And then I searched every Marshall's in Charlotte, and I still can't find that candle. I went online. I found a candle website, y'all.
Yes.
They don't even sell the candle on the website, mm-hmm, no more. It's like they made that candle one time and sold it in one Marshall's, and I found that shit like Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I'll never see it again.
Mm-mm. So I don't know if the company discontinued it and they was just like, cool, we'll do it because y'all discontinued it.
The fuck is their business model?
Right. So how you gonna put shit online if for people to order it and I probably can't even guarantee they're gonna get what they want?
Right.
Ordered.
We bought a broom with a dustpan from there that had the dustpan where you don't gotta bend down and the broom was extendable.
Yes.
And I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. I should have had this my whole life. You know, this now I know, you know, you get older, you tired all that bending and shit.
Come on.
And then it broke and we couldn't find a replacement. And of course we found it like for $3. Like, I don't know what the business model is, cause when I went to go look up what it's supposed to cost, it was like at least $30 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's, it's crazy out there. They got the good hangers. They just giving them away. Who knows what the fuck is going on? Might be a drug laundering operation or some shit. Anyway, Sunday afternoon. Oh, and then we went and had Jamaican food.
It was good.
At the Jerk Joint, which is new.
Yeah, because for some reason, and me and Roger talked about this, because the way Charlotte is designed, most of your ethnic food is either downtown or on a complete opposite side of town for us.
Mm-hmm.
So where we are, we're more scattered. We're not as condensed.
We have some stuff over here, but one of the problems is we from here. So sometimes I'll be like, oh, I would go to that Jamaican spot, but that's over there where they were shooting.
Come on.
And then I won't go because I'll just be thinking to myself like, oh man, it might be dangerous over there. I'm from here. I was raised around that area. You never eat over there.
Mm-mm.
It's like how they used to have that Checkers over there, but you couldn't go inside because, you know, it was Checkers be in the hood.
Right.
But,
and they be getting good ratings. I'd be like, it ain't worth a bullet. I'm good.
Right. But it is a Jamaican spot we never went to that's right over there off of Woodline. We just ain't never went. It's over there by Chubbs.
It is, ain't, yeah, it?
Yeah, it's okay. Been over there for my whole life, and I always
been over there for years.
Always be like, and it's right over by the strip club.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like it's literally right beside the strip club, and then One time I actually went into, it's not a strip club, but it's like an adult toy place. And me and a friend of mine had went in there one time, and they actually give a pole dancing classes and stripper heat. It was a neat experience to go through there.
Well, I'm gonna try that place out though, because that's where all the good food be, right? But you know, you gotta, it's like we went to get some wings one time, and it was bullet holes in the, and the door was cracked, and I was like, I know these wings about to be good,
they're about to be fire.
Every time you know, there was a place in Fayetteville that sold like soul food, but it sold like seafood, it was like fried fish, and every time I went, it was a bullet hole, a new bullet hole in the window. And I'm like, that's how you know I've never not had great fucking fish there. It's been great 100% of the time. Like, every time I got up the courage to be able to go in there, because it's a little bit of a risk. You want to get it to go.
Come on.
You don't want to eat in. You know.
You want to time it just right.
We all know those spots where it's got a vast inside, but nobody ever eats in. You get it to go, and you take it home, you know. But it'd be good as fuck. You know, throw some Texas Pete packets on there. Come on. Fucking grub.
Like you said, you never disappointed, because y'all know y'all got them spots where you pay a little bit more, but you know, sometimes it hit or miss depending on who the chef is for the day, you know, and stuff like that. But when you know this is like the grandma's recipe, everybody was taught this is the way you better do that shit, because everybody probably be done got cussed out because they were like, who the fuck is cooking this don't taste the same. They got tired of that shit, so they was like, look, everybody learn how to cook this shit the
same. Well, also, like, the prices always be like too good to be true.
Come on, you get a piece of croaker, two sides, a drink, and cornbread for $3.50. You be like, how the hell can y'all afford this?
Like, inflation is going up in my lifetime. Why the fuck do price of chicken coop prices still be the same?
The same.
At this point, you know, it should be $8-$9 for one of these chickens, and still like $6.50. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, because they like, niggas will riot if we hike these prices up. Nope.
I don't know. But anyway, we had Jamaican food today. Yesterday we had some Peruvian food.
We did.
First time having that.
Yes.
And then last week we had some Dominican food. I had oxtail for, I thought it was my first time, but then I thought about it. It wasn't my first time having oxtail. I had oxtail before, but it was in pho. That was my first time having like oxtail the way like niggas serve it and shit.
Yeah, it was halal.
So that was cool.
It was
a halal Dominican food.
Right, which is a weird combination, y'all, but
I guess, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know that much about halal food. We only had it really once or twice. So, and it's just like Muslim, like cuts of meat and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe Dominican food is halal. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Don't give me the line. I ain't an expert. I know Twitter tells you can do things one time and become an expert. I know we're not experts. Mm-mm. We just tried something.
Yeah.
We got some of the food in there and it was good.
Yeah. We're just telling you what we tried.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Till said they don't take online and phone orders. Exactly.
Oh no. And some of them joints are still cash only. Yeah. ATM in the store.
Right.
Yeah. They like, nah, dog. We don't do no Apple Pay or no Google Pay, credit or debit, bitch.
Well, some of them do, but I just know that, like, at least my experience, though, like, them places that don't take them online and phone orders, you know, that's when you know it's the hood.
Yeah, and some of them you go to, they don't even have a menu. They just got the location. This is where we at, nigga. This is the number.
On the website?
Yes, they don't even put the menu up there, because they was like, either you gonna come in or not, or you already know what you gonna order.
Like, one time I tried to order online through an app for Yelp for some wings, and then we went to the wing spot, and them motherfuckers started making our order when we got there. They was like, oh, y'all put that order in? Okay, cool. Hey man, go ahead, put 20 chickens down. I'm like, what?
Right, because they probably,
bro, also, I thought I was gonna get over here, it's gonna be ready. They was like, nope. Not that's not how we do things here. You see, the door done got kicked in. We run things a little differently.
Yeah, and you put like this, you order online, so we know you already paid, so we ain't got no problem with that. So we know you gonna wait.
I was upset, but guess what I did, y'all?
Sat there
and waited them 10-15 minutes for them wings. I sure did.
Cause you, and
absolutely.
And I think their thing was, we're not gonna fry this shit and you fuck around and don't show up.
I don't know. I don't know what the, it's just some hood shit. I don't know what the rules are, cause it's not like, is really practical. Yeah. It would be smarter for them to just make the fucking order. A white place would have made it on time. The black people, I mean, you go in there, it's nothing but brown people behind the counter. It's like, I know my shit ain't made yet.
Yeah, and like they say, nope, they ain't doing DoorDash. They ain't doing Grubhub. They not doing none of that.
Nope. You gotta come get your shit.
Yeah, they ain't delivering. They was like, you gonna have to call and pick it up.
Anyway, that's how our day went. The official weapon of, this is the Blackout Tips. Finds on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Make them nice. We will read them on the air. Come on, guys. It's March. I want to have a strong year. I want every week for us to have multiple 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. You guys are doing a great job so far on iTunes. Stitcher, I think we was off last week. We didn't have nobody. But you guys are doing a great job. I'm seeing your international reviews. We're reading them on the feedback show.
Yay.
It takes a little longer to get those, but thank you. I see you guys in Australia and Canada. You guys are really looking out. If you're in Japan, if you're in other places, give us a shout out. We would love to read what you think about the show.
We would.
The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by a sexy sponsor. Adam and Eve is the sponsor today, and they are trying to help you spice it up like Peruvian food, Jamaican food, or that Dominican food, okay? They are trying to put it on you with these spices.
Come on.
Sauce it up in that bedroom, y'all. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll get 50% off of almost any item when you enter in offer code TBGWT. Okay, it's that simple. You put in offer code TBGWT and you get 50% off. Now you would go, well, Rod, that's enough. That's good enough. Thank you so much, buddy. But I'm not done yet. And they're not done either. And you won't be done. Because they want to hook you up with the big O kit. And the O stands for orgasm. Okay? No secrets here. The big O kit comes with Climax Gel, a mini vibrator as well. And then on top of that, they want to give you free shipping. Like, I don't want to get upset with you guys. But if you haven't taken advantage of this deal, you are stupid. Okay? If you listen to this show and you're like, man, I like spending full price for my adult entertainment, well, that's your fault. Okay?
Yeah, that is.
Because they are trying to hit you up for the low low. Okay? Free 99 shipping, half off of any item, plus the big O kit. Put in code TBGWT when you go to check out at adamandeve.com. It's that fucking simple. Don't be stupid, okay? It's 2019. People still out here being stupid. What you gonna do next? Vote Republican? Come on. Be smart.
Treat yourself. Smart.
All right. For Women's History Month, TBGWT at adamandeve.com. I will make you feel so sensual when I touch you. You lose all. All right, Karen, random thoughts. Go.
So we're not going to ease into it and be like, well, Karen, you got some random thoughts.
Well, Karen, let's, all right, you're right. Hold on. Man, there's so much going on in the world today. It is so crazy out here.
We are so professional, y'all.
And when it's crazy like this, you know what it brings to mind? The randomness of Karen's thoughts. I would like to hear some random thoughts by Karen.
Thank you.
Karen, would you like to give us some random thoughts? Was that enough of an intro for you? Do you need theme music or something? Is everything okay?
I mean, if we gonna do it.
Wow.
I mean,
okay. All right, let me give you some theme music real quick. Karen's random thoughts. It's time for Karen's random thoughts, y'all. Everybody get to the dance floor.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Random thoughts.
That will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Come on!
Bring.
We got some fucking fresh beats for you!
Random thoughts. We breaking shit. Random thoughts. Random thoughts. Come on. Come on, random thoughts. What? Where my random thoughts? And where my latest thoughts at? Where my men thoughts? Where my latest thoughts at? Now where my men thoughts?
Hey!
DJ Selector, bring the rain. Where my dogs at? Oh, it's time for random thoughts, sir. Oh, the dogs are barking for the random thoughts, Karen.
Is they ready?
Mm-hmm.
Exclusive.
Exclusive random thoughts.
Exclusive.
Only here at the Blackout Tips. That's right. Be clear, baby.
Come on.
It's random thoughts. Go ahead and drop the random thoughts bombs, Karen.
I thank you for my intro. I mean, I'll take that any day.
You're welcome.
My random thoughts are real simple, y'all. But first of all, before we move on, I let y'all know at the Jamaican place, I had some Jamaican pulled pork barbecue, y'all. That shit was flames.
All right.
But I had to, you know, before I get to my random thoughts,
I had some Jamaican tacos. Wait, I had jerk tacos. I say Jamaican. Tacos, I don't know. They was like fish, pork, chicken. And then we had some stuff called like some fried dumplings.
Mm-hmm.
But they was literally like dumplings. Like it wasn't like Chinese restaurant fried dumplings.
No.
It was like bread. You know what I'm saying? Then we had salt fish. That was good with some pink sauce. That was straight.
Yes, it was very, very different.
Yeah.
I can tell y'all that much. Wait a minute. Just lost my spot. Okay.
Okay. All right. Hold on. I'll get you back. Time to get into these random thoughts, Karen. Get your mind right. 20,000 years of random thoughts, bitch. All right. Go ahead.
Well, my first, and it's not really, well, I guess you could call it a random thought. My first random thought is, so I got these sneakers. The sneakers are running. I love them. But all of a sudden, my feet start hurting. And I like to get insoles into my shoes, particularly in the heels, because I already know that's where my pressure point is in my heels. So I was like, I'm going to get me some Dr. Scholl's insoles. And so I went up to Walmart early in the morning. Went up to Walmart after yoga class. And they have like this machine that you stand on. And it kind of tells your pressure points and it tells you what kind of insoles that actually work for your feet. So I was like, I wonder, you know, is it going to work? So I ended up trying it and I, you know, picked whatever little number the thing gave me. And I run them bitches. I was like, ooh, this is high. I was like, ooh, this better be worth every goddamn dime.
What, the insoles?
Yes.
How much are they expensive?
That was like $50.
$50 for insoles?
Yes.
I mean,
that's about $25 a foot.
That's less for that's some good math. That is less than buying some new shoes, though.
Correct. And that's how I thought about it.
And it's supposed to give your shoes, I guess, longer life and make them more comfortable. So,
yeah,
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and the thing is, but I really looked at that thing out because I was like, beep, and it was like, I looked at that price, like, good God. And I thought about it. I said, like, okay, $25 a foot. That's not bad. I'm getting old now, and the older you get, the more your money is spent in comfort, and the less of your money is spent in style. The more your money is spent in what is the shit that's gonna keep me the most comfortable for the least amount of time.
That's why old people don't be looking cool.
Right. That's why old people having fucking everything got elastic in it. Mm. Everything, you know, you can rub on it. Everything is like help assist you to do something. You know, young people can try. You're trying to be cool. You're trying to be hip. You worry about what your friends think. You're trying to be, you old, you be like, nigga, I've been around long enough to know that this the shit that worked for me. Fuck what your mama said. I'm being old. You know, this is what fits my body.
Yeah, when the last time you seen an old woman in some fuck me heels? Like,
come on.
That them days of being uncomfortable to go to the club, walking on your big toe. Like, that shit is over.
That shit is over, getting bunions and fucking up your feet and trying to go down two sides. No.
They be like, you better accept these flats.
Come on. You know, the older women be like, bitch, yes, I wear a size 10 and a half. And bitch, that's what's going on my fucking feet. Might get an 11 if it stretch right.
Right.
You know, young people be trying to be cute and
pinky toes be dying.
Come on.
Off.
Your big toe all fucked up. Your mm-hmm. corns and calluses and bullshit because you trying to be cute. And at the end of the day, that shit does not matter. But that's, you know, when you get old, you just give a lot of that shit up, you know, mm-hmm. and you feel like if you got friends that pick on you, them ain't your friends, baby. Your friends need to be like, I like you and I
get
like
you some age appropriate friends that understand.
Come on. And that's one thing. When you get older, your friends will be getting older too. And y'all start swapping secrets about, girl, I took Epsom salt bath. Girl, me too. You know, you start sharing shit like that. You know, I got Ben Gay and they start sharing secrets that they find a girl. You know, they got Ben Gay without older in it. For real. Yeah, girl. For real, that's the shit you talk to your friends about, you know, as you get older. So when I divided up at $25 a foot, I was like, you know what, this ain't bad. And one thing about when you get older, you have a little bit more disposable income. So I was like, fuck that, this is what I'm gonna get. I put them bitches in my shoes. My shoes felt fucking brand new. I was like, well, god damn, this is why you pay the money for doctor shows. Cool. I was like, you know what, bitch, I might be back to running again.
Somebody said Jennifer Hudson's feet. I haven't seen those, but I guess they must be messed up from the heels or something.
But honey, heels, and put like this, and let's put like this, there's nothing wrong with heels. Heels do make you look good and shit like that, but there are downsides to heels. You know, women have had to have surgery and shit like that from heels, have had corns and calluses removed, and there's nothing wrong with
it. I was just asking specifically about Jennifer Hudson's feet, not heels in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do got heels. I rarely wear them, but I do have some in here. Yeah. And put like this, they for special occasions, and half the time I get to the location and I kick them off anyway, because I'm like, yeah, no, this was just to get here. Like, I'm not gonna be uncomfortable. This is why I don't do wedding parties or wedding shit like that, because you got to stand up there in those heels. I'm good, dog, but this is just me and my old self.
So you done with that random thought?
Yes.
Let's get to the next one. Boom, it's time to get to the next random thought. Okay.
Yo, here we go.
Here we go.
All right, you can go ahead and start.
Go ahead.
At the count of three, I want everybody in the place to be to make some noise if you're down with me.
You down with these random thoughts? Let's go. All right, go ahead.
I like these intros.
I'm just hyping you up.
Thank you, hype man. My next random thought. We was watching the basketball game last night, and we see Kevin Durant twist the same ankle 2 times in one play. Mm-hmm. And I was like, bitch, if I look like I'm gonna fall, I'm called out of work. I was like, athletes are special people. I was like, he is the real MVP.
Yeah, he got up. He just kept playing. He didn't even really get hurt.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about no oops. No, I'm talking about like twists where your foot goes in like opposite direction. Mm-hmm. He hit it one time, kept stepping, and hit that same ankle. And it was like I was looking and I was feeling it for me. I was like, why am I hurting? And he shook it off and kept that shit going.
He didn't even tighten up his shoe.
No,
like, he just shot the free throws like it was normal and shit. I was like, I would have been done.
I was like, what bionic body do you have?
Athletes, man. Any young, you know, young enough that you could do shit like that and keep playing. But if that would happen to like D Wade, I'm like, well, it was a nice season.
Come on, the season is officially over. Mm-hmm. Another random thought.
Oh wait, hold up. You going to the random thought? Hold on. Okay, I'm reloading with random thoughts. All right, go ahead.
And this is still with basketball kind of related. When we was at the bar watching the basketball games, I realized with some of their tattoos are like random, and I was seeing like tattoos are like happy faces, like smiley faces and mm-hmm. shit. I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like these big men with like hearts and smiley faces and emojis and shit on them. I just thought that was cute. Maybe that's just so random for me, because you would think that, you know, they would have some hard, you know, hardcore, but apparently not.
I mean, they rich, they got a lot of time on their hands, and you know, they're not all, you know, the most creative guys, and so you go up there and get a heart emoji or whatever, or praying hands, or that cousin that died. Like, everybody got like the same 5 tattoos and shit.
Yeah, for a lot of people.
Some people always get surprised when they see my tattoo
because it's so different.
Well, because yeah. It's so nice. It's me and you on it with the logo. They always like, oh, you got a tattoo, let me see. Whoa, what is this? I'm like, yeah, it's a nice tattoo. I'm a nice person. Like, what, I gotta have bullets and shit? Yeah, like, I gotta have thug
like,
life?
They was like, nobody died? What is this tattoo?
I'm like Obama. I don't need 8 people twerking around me, okay? My tattoos are nice, respectable tattoos, all right? I'm a safe Negro.
real safe. But, I got, okay, time for the
oh,
next.
Oh, wait, hold on. Time for the next random thought. Hold on. Put that record back on. Random thoughts, bitch. Wait, that was it? Here we go. Random thoughts. Here we go.
My next one is this.
Random thoughts. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, you good? My next one is this. The older I get, the more and more I realize that, and I think I may have talked about this, about Top Shelf alcohol. Yeah, I love myself too much. Don't do the cheap shit, kids. Do the good stuff. Pay a little bit more for the shit where you can drink and wake up the next day and you're not passed out and you're not hammered or you're throwing up and shit. No, pay the extra money for the good shit.
Yeah, you don't pay to get drunk. You pay to not have a hangover.
Come on.
I mean, that's the thing. You can, getting drunk is affordable as fuck. You can get some rot gut or go to the store and buy some Mad Dog or some shit and you'll get drunk. I mean, shit, it'll all get you drunk. Beer will get you drunk. You drink enough of it fast enough.
Right.
The key is, do you want to function in the morning?
Right.
And, you know, that's a lesson that I learned later in life that I wish I had learned earlier in life. That's like, I'd rather fucking be able to wake up in the morning and not feel like death. You know, like, kill me. Just shoot me. Get me out of my fucking misery. Like, nah, just pay a little extra, man. You fuck around and you drink that cheap shit, you gotta do all types of extra prepping and shit and drinking Bloody Marys in the morning to get it over with and trying to.
Oh, so that's the purpose. I remember you was telling me that because I've never had a Bloody Mary.
Yeah, it's supposed to rehydrate you, give you nutrients and a little bit of alcohol to take off the hangover. That's why they all healthy and shit. I'd rather not.
Yeah, I'd rather not either. And so, you know, there's nothing better than, you know, drinking and just relaxing and waking up and be like, all right, I can go to work today and function fine and my head's not thumping and I'm not stumbling and none of that shit, you know, and your liver will thank you. Your liver is like, oh, thank God.
Now, I'm not talking about my liver. I'm just talking about my fucking head.
Yeah,
it's not about the, I don't know about the long-term effects of good alcohol or bad alcohol on your body. I'm sure that matters too, but I'm just saying in the short term of recovery, you spend more time recovering from that rot gut than you do.
I would rather die.
Come on.
Than you do from that good shit.
Come on. I look like, put like this. I am grown. And so one thing that I do not like to do is have my head over a fucking toilet, particularly if I'm not sick. You know, in this case, you make yourself sick. So I'm like, I am good. I don't like to be there when my body is rejecting food or whatever. So I'm not going to purposely put myself there.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck that. I'm too old. So spend the extra money on the good shit, kids. Okay, I'm ready for my next one.
All right. Hold on.
Amor.
All right.
And this is my last one. Y'all know what? I actually use a gender neutral bathroom. And y'all know what? It's a regular ass bathroom. I don't know if nobody told y'all that or not.
Regular ass bathroom.
A regular, normal, you know, it got a toilet. It got a sink. It's just a normal, regular. It's nothing spectacular about it.
The only thing different is the door.
And it's not, the door is the fucking same. The only thing difference is the sign that tells you it's gender neutral. I mean, that's why I'm like, why is everybody, and I know it might sound stupid, but I'm like, why is everybody having a fucking fit about a gender neutral bathroom? It's just like, look, we don't care what the fuck you call yourself or how you identify. Just come in here and use the bathroom and go on about your business. It's no glitter. You don't get inducted. You don't get, nobody attacks you. Ain't no hidden room. It got a toilet and a sink and somewhere to piss and shit, just like every other bathroom.
It's amazing, honestly.
It's shocking, ain't it?
If you watch the news, you never think.
Right. You know, like I say, all they ask is you just wash your hands. That's it. Put like this. If you come in there, we hopefully you got hands. And if you got hands, wash them. Other than that, we don't care.
Yep.
So, you know, like sometimes I wonder, you know, why people have this big old uproar about it. And I was like, y'all do know all bathrooms actually need to be gender, like, just bathrooms period just need, and somebody brought a good point on that. It was like, you know, the bathroom at your house is actually gender neutral. Mm-hmm. And people don't even realize it because you just got the bathroom. Your bathroom at your house ain't got no boys or girls.
I'm going to be honest. I don't care if your bathrooms are gendered. I don't care. Like, it could be men, it could be women. It just shouldn't matter who goes the fuck in one.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's really just like a fucking suggestion. It's not an actual, there's no law. There's no, you know what I'm saying? Like, people just make it seem like, you know, they just want to be afraid of trans people. That's all it is. They just want to be afraid of trans LGBT people. They just want to fucking turn them into like the enemy. Like, these motherfuckers gonna get us, the boogeyman, they coming, y'all. Instead of just being like, I have to shit. That was actually my number one priority going in there. If, you know, I understand there's some things that with people who identify as women or femme may do in a bathroom together that, you know, is for them. Like, I'm, you know, maybe it's different if you're going in there to check makeup and girls going in the group to do whatever the fuck. If that, you know, guys typically have like different, we're socialized a little differently on how we use the bathroom and shit like that. But still, the point being, like, it shouldn't be a big deal. Whatever the fuck is happening, it shouldn't be like, I'm gonna yank someone out the bathroom to prove a point.
Yeah.
Or call the police or harass someone. Just mind your fucking business.
And it's stupid, and it's making me think of what I forgot what the person said, that they was talking about online, particularly when you go into the woman's bathroom and there are multiple stalls. And I thought about it. I was like, a man must have made like tampons and pads, because them shits is loud. For any woman that has had to use them, ripping, mm-hmm. You were like, okay, not everybody in the fucking bathroom know that I'm using the pad. Yeah. Or you were like, why can't y'all make that shit silent?
And then technically, I mean, it shouldn't even really be embarrassing, because we all got to do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like using the bathroom. It's like if you have to use the bathroom and you're farting a lot. It shouldn't be embarrassing, because everyone's been there, but you feel harshly judged in those moments, even though it's just a bodily function.
Right. It's just something about it, because people just like, ew, and you like, your body does the same thing. What the fuck are we 10? What the hell is this?
Yeah. And Shay said men check out their outfits and their face in the mirror too. I agree. I feel you. But I'm just saying, it's a little different.
Yeah.
As someone who's been in the men's bathroom my entire life, it's a little different. It's not like a group thing. It's not a, hold up, let me get your makeup straight, homie. You looking kind of raggedy out there.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that being said, it would probably be better if it was.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Like, it would probably be better if men weren't socialized to be so fucking, like, standoffish and homophobic. So you could check your homie and be like, hey, dog, your shirt, you know, hold on, let me get that straight for you, homie. Look at your face, homie. Your beard looking a little, you gotta moisturize your situation. I mean, that could work, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's why we need gender neutral bathrooms, is so women could go in there too and be like, oh, are you on a date, sir? Your hair. Let me tighten you up real quick.
Right. Then they
before you go
out,
back out there.
Yeah, they pulling out shade, but let me get you looking right.
We need the help, okay? Right. You've seen the general state of men. We all need the help. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, I know that we're socialized a little different, and if there's like a space of camaraderie for women in their bathrooms or whatever, for femmes in their bathrooms, I get it. I'm not trying to say we should all intrude on each other's spaces like that. I get that there's some usefulness to it, but it ain't, for the most part, it ain't that fucking different. Everybody's in there to shit, piss, or tighten themselves up. It's not like you go into one bathroom and there's a motherfucking bank loan office in there. Like, there's nothing different.
And also, it's one of these things where I seen somebody said men do. Well, that might be your group of friends, but on the average, men do not do that. Like,
for the most part, I mean, look, it's that thing too. It's like Twitter, where you say something and then people have to be like, well, not me. It's totally different. Like, well, okay, I didn't say everybody.
Yeah, and I'm
hopefully
glad
you have good enough friendships. I mean, me and Justin have a good enough friendship like that. But at the same time, me and Justin don't excuse ourselves from the table to go to the bathroom together.
Oh yeah, women have to.
Right, women do sometimes. Sometimes for safety, for a bunch of shit that I'm just recognizing there are differences. And there shouldn't be any threats in recognizing it.
And a lot of times, women are more prepared for accidents. Not that men aren't, but a lot of times women go in there, they like check on each other. Girl, spin around. Let me check this. Let me be sure, you know, this and that.
It's a socialization thing. And maybe men do it now. I don't know. I don't, you know.
I hope so.
I don't really go to clubs and shit anymore. Yeah. Maybe men have kind of tightened, lessened down on that bullshit. Cause your men get mad if you like piss in the stall next to them and there's a stall open one away. So, you know, maybe there's been a ton of progress within masculinity within the last however many years, and I just ain't been aware of it. But my guess is niggas is still doing that kind of shit where you go to the movie theater and they act like it's gay because you sit next to them instead of like one seat away, which is that's some man shit, which is so stupid.
Dumb, and it's exactly ridiculous. Because I was telling your mama how I try to be prepared, like, at all times, because I was telling her in my pocketbook, you know, I carry the basic stuff, you know, like combs and brushes and things like that, but I also carry stuff like Advil, you know, Advil, Tylenol. I carry pads and tampons. I actually carry like Neosporin. I got
Women got a completely different tactical guide to the restroom. Men, we have a wallet. You know what I'm saying? It's just not the same experience. That being said, I still don't think it's that big a deal to have gender neutral or co-ed bathrooms or whatever. People act like it's never been done before. Right. People, they do it on college campuses all the time.
All the time.
All right, let's get into the news, guys. Okay.
Thank you for letting me share my random thoughts.
You don't need to be, you don't need to thank me, Karen. This is your show as well. I don't never thank nobody for when I do my random thoughts. I just do them.
Well, y'all just may be glad I told y'all what I thought today.
There you go. Tay-Kay is back in the news.
Ooh.
That's what I thought you would say. Tay-Kay is a rapper. Tay-Kay 47. He, made one of my favorite songs, The Race.
I'm the Tay-Kay. I don't think you want no action. You want action, you can
turn
into passing. Your boy's deep, well, let's get to subtracted. Smith and Wesson made my night with some compassion. Fuck a beat.
I was trying to win the case. But I ain't beat that case, bitch, I win the race.
Beat it up, where I nut, shorty face. Eli Blast, cracking foes like a bass.
Well, he's back in the news, because last time he, I think, lost a case, jumped bail, and was on the run. Well, now prosecutors are saying that he is incarcerated. Prosecutors are saying that he attempted to form a criminal organization inside Tarrant County Jail.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. He tried to start a gang, y'all. According to court documents obtained by the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, an 18-year-old allegedly drafted a set of rules for a gang called the Rugrats.
Like the cartoon?
Yes, Karen, like the cartoon.
Was Angelica involved? What has happened to this? Tommy? We got the whole crew.
Tommy Pickles was involved. Yeah, the Rugrats. The rules or laws of power prohibited members from snitching if caught in illegal activities. Gotta write that one down. How many gangs have fallen because they just forgot to write that down?
Forgot to put that in the Article 19.
Stealing from fellow Rugrats, disobeying a higher-ranking member, or harming children, unless necessary. Oh, unless necessary. Okay. I definitely want to make a caveat
provision
for that. Who decides what's necessary?
Come on.
Tay-Kay also broke down the structure of the organization, which included sergeants, lieutenants, generals, and troops. Love, respect, protect, and cherish your fellow Rugrat always. The final law of power reads. That is so sweet. Because I love protecting, cherish the Rugrats.
What's their theme is? Is it all cute?
I like to think it's probably blacker than that. Guessing that's the theme song.
I'm assuming so.
Though the name Rugrat is commonly associated with the 1990s Nickelodeon cartoon, it's also referenced to Tay-K's record Saran Pack, in which he raps, "Bitch, I'm a Rugrat. I don't know how to love back." The gang allegations were just one of 27 acts detailed in court documents that offered evidence of Tay-K's alleged wrongdoings. Prosecutors also point to the rapper's purported assault on a fellow inmate, his alleged marijuana use, as well as the criminal charges for which he is currently awaiting trial. Tay-K's legal name, Tamar Trayvon McIntyre, is accused of murdering 21-year-old Ethan Walker in 2016 and 23-year-old Mark Anthony Saldivar in 2017. Though he will be tried as an adult, his manager, Ezra Averill, said the rapper will not face the death penalty. Well, you guys know what we say around here. Never believe the police. They probably made it all up. I don't trust the Texas police. Y'all trust the Texas police? Huh? Y'all some snitches? Y'all some feds up in here? I say Rugrats is innocent until proven guilty. So I will see where that story develops.
I mean, we will see
if the crooked justice system tries to hem up another innocent black man. Okay,
another innocent rugrat.
You know they all innocent. This is how I die in jail. I already know that's why I die, because I'm not gonna be able to turn my brain off and not laugh when they say, oh, you fucking with the rugrats, bitch, don't you know this rugrats gang, nigga, gang. I'll be like, come on guys, come on, this is not serious.
No, we serious, we for real here.
No, nigga, rugrats, we fucking rugrats till we die, motherfucker, like Angelica and like Tommy Pickles.
Mm-hmm. Rugrats for life,
like Chucky. They be stabbing the fuck out of me. I'll be in there.
Kneel and feel.
I'll be dying, bleeding out. Come on. Don't go there. I'll be dying. Like, just tell them, don't tell everybody I died from the rugrats killing me. Tell them it was like the Crips. Please. No one's going to respect my death if they find
nobody
out this
gonna
happened.
Nobody going to respect it.
Oh, man. In an interview, Roseanne Barr calls Me Too founders some hoes.
Oh, some ho-hoes, some hoes.
It says Kamala Harris slept her way to the top.
A word?
That's what she say. Mm. Now, before y'all get upset, remember, Monique said we had to forgive her. And y'all all told me Monique had integrity. And Steve Harvey was a coon. And she was our hero. So think about what y'all thinking before y'all get ready to say something bad about Missy Roseanne now. Okay? You gonna betray Monique like that? Y'all already didn't quit Netflix, and now y'all gonna just turn your back on this too. When Roseanne need us the most. Wow. I see what y'all doing in the chat. Thinking about it. In a new off the rails interview, did she do any other kind?
Right. I thought they was all off the
wouldn't
rails.
It be news if she did a on the rails interview at this point.
Come on.
In a new off the rails interview, Roseanne calls originators of the Me Too movement hoes and attacks Senator Kamala Harris, Christine Blasey Ford, and many other women. Oh, I guess reasonable. Well, sounds right. They're pretending that they didn't go to trade sexual favors for money, Barr says, rhetorically asking why some women find themselves in men's hotel rooms at 3 a.m. Interviewer Candace Owens. No! Not my Ace Boon Coon, Candace! Candace Owens replies by pointing that to women who accuse comedian Louis C.K. of sexual misconduct, prompting Barr to say, that's who I'm talking about too. I know a hoe when I see one.
Oh, okay. You know a hoe when you see one, okay.
She must have been extra sassy because, my guess is she was extra sassy because she was talking to a black woman. That's my guess. It makes sense if you think about it. She's like, I'm gonna say ho because I'm talking to a black woman. She was kicked off the reboot of Roseanne.
Ain't that what y'all called each other, hoes?
Right. I'm cool, black friend, high five. She was kicked off the reboot of Roseanne show after posting a racist tweet about former President Barack Obama's advisor Valerie Jarrett last May. Speaking in an episode of the Candace Owens show that goes online Sunday, Barr holds nothing back talking about race, religion, politics, and Hollywood. Look at Kamala Harris. I call Kamala Sutra Harris. So funny. We would have never. Ooh, man. We're going to miss that on TV.
Right.
We all know what she did. She slept her way to the bottom. The comedian says, drawing an agreement from Owens, who directs comms for the young conservative group Turning Point USA. Barr also suggests Christine Blasey Ford, who accused Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault when they were teens, should be in prison. White women privilege is the only thing that kept the accused out of jail, Barr opines. What are even the rules over there? Does white women privilege exist or nah? Mm-hmm. Or it only exists when it's Democrats, that's when it exists, but when it's anybody else. By the way, Christine Blasey Ford could put a fucking vote in Republican. We have no idea what her politics are. We don't. Moving on to freshman representative Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Barr declares, it's scary when we have Hamas in Congress. They don't mind being anti-Muslim, even though, you know, anti-Semitism is what they accuse Ilhan of. Owen chimes in to say that Ocasio-Cortez openly hates Jews. Barr herself is Jewish. The crazy comedian tells Owen she supports the interviewer's Blexit movement, encouraging black people to lead a Democratic Party. Well, she's not alone. Candace Owen has some strange bedfellows on that one, guys. Let's take an extra pause for that. Talk amongst yourselves. I support Blexit because I know that really is the linchpin of the whole thing. You call it the plantation. I love that, Barr says. So a racist woman is agreeing with self-hating Candace Owens about black people needing to stop voting Democrat and leave the plantation. But if you follow the whole Venn diagram, you'll find a lot of wokey woke people up in there too. Interesting rhetoric. Mm-hmm. Cool story, bro. Oh, and some Russians, how they get in this diagram? Oh damn, I call it Egypt because I'm Jewish. It's leaving Egypt and getting free of Pharaoh. For all the African-American people I know who are blessing it, I say to them, please take two Jews with you.
Ain't Brexit the shit that they mm-hmm. doing over there now?
That's what Brexit is, but Blexit.
Okay.
Blexit with an L.
Oh, Blexit.
Is what Candace Owen coined as black people leaving Democratic Party and going to Republicans. Or not voting at all. They're fine with you not voting at all. They count that as two. Okay. When I went to bat for Sandra, Kathy, and Sarah, Sandra Bernhardt, Kathy Griffin, and Sarah Gilbert, to get them on TV because I get them all their TV jobs. You know what people at networks told me? Those girls are too ugly to go on TV. Wow. Roseanne. Come on now. Okay. You, they too ugly. But, okay. And I said, this is so incredibly sexist. Look at me. I'm no beauty. You can't take talent for a woman and reduce it to facial flaws. Are you shitting me? She changed her mind since becoming a Hollywood outcast. Nowadays, I'm like, you're right. They are too ugly to be on TV. Yeah, saying they have ugliness inside.
Whatever. They quit fucking with you. That's what that boiled down to.
Boy, it'd be the same people that tell you great. That be trying to tell you ain't shit, right?
Come on.
Ain't that how it is?
Mm-hmm.
A fucking psychopath, man. I've dealt with people like that before. It's, you were the greatest ever. And then later when they don't like you, you ain't shit. And you never was shit. You never be shit. Like, you fucking narcissist, sociopath, crazy motherfucker. Oh my God, you unstable as fuck, dog. Anyway, hope the thoughts and prayers for her.
That's all I got for you.
Kylie Jenner is suspected, she suspected Travis Scott of cheating after Jordan Woods and Tristan Thompson drama. That's right, y'all. It was some drama. And this ain't even white people news. Kylie Jenner has experienced trust issues amid Tristan Thompson, Jordan Woods cheating scandal. So I don't know where you've been if you've been under a rock, Karen. But Jordan Woods is a black girl that is friends with the Kardashians and the Smiths of Will and Jada form fame and fortune.
Mm-hmm.
And amidst Tristan, third trimester Tristan Thompson out here thotting around, in the midst of all that, in the many women he's been seen with, hugged up with at clubs, fucking mm-hmm. all this shit. There was rumors he went to a Valentine's Day party and had a fucking sevensome with women. I don't know how true that one was, but there was like, you know, some women went back to a room with him and stuff. And then there's also this thing where Jordan Woods is with some people supposedly partying, I guess at Tristan's crib or something, and he kissed her on the lips on the way out. According to her, okay. The blogs was all, they fucked each other and all this type of shit, and she stayed overnight. That's what the blogs are saying, but she is like, that's not the truth. And it got so serious, she had to go on the red table on Facebook, which is Jada Pinkett's mm-hmm. Facebook show. That's when you know it's some serious shit.
Right, a lot of people watch that. I've never seen a complete episode.
I watched like a little bit of a couple, and I actually watched half of this one and turned it off because I don't care that much.
Don't care.
No offense,
y'all.
No offense to y'all, those of y'all who care a lot, but I realized like this is just some like messy shit that I don't really care about, and this is how you get roped into their world, and now you watching their TV show or their clips online or following them on Twitter, and you know. People have canceled them a million times, but somehow they stay uncanceled and up, and every time they do anything controversial is right up on the front page of Twitter.
Right.
Anyway, so in the, I guess in the aftermath of that scenario with whoever you believe, however you think it happened, I don't care. Apparently Kylie Jenner checked Travis's phone and saw something she didn't like. So they all got paranoid. She's like, these niggas be cheating even on white women? What the fuck? I need to look at your phone.
What's happening over here?
We didn't know this was possible. I thought y'all was just cheating on black women because they black. A week after the news first broke that Jenner's best friend Woods hooked up with Khloe Kardashian's then boyfriend Thompson, TMZ reported Thursday that Kylie's cosmetic mogul at 21 years old had accused her own boyfriend Travis Scott of cheating.
Ain't that the one that took the picture and he just
he always take the picture, it looked the same. Okay. He always like he don't want to be there,
like don't, he like oh my god, why you drag me out here.
It always look like the mom took, it's like a mom made him go to those like Sears photo shoots and he ain't want to do it.
Yes, he didn't want to smile.
I don't know why that's his thing, but that's his fucking thing.
It's terrible.
Kylie had a rough week, the sources say. And see, the other thing is, I think Jordan Woods was Kylie's best friend, not Khloe's. Not that it really matters. I mean, if that's your best friend and you fuck, like, if my brother got divorced and then Justin kissed my brother's ex-wife, it would be a problem. I saw people acting like Khloe Kardashian was tripping to even think that it would be a problem. I mean, it would be my brother would probably have a problem with that. You know, even if they were exes on the outs or just complicated, or she was cheating on him or something, he would probably have a problem if it was a friend of the family involved in any kind of way in that motherfucking shenanigans, even while also being like, and he, you know, she ain't shit either or whatever. You know, my ex ain't shit, but you ain't have to be one to be in the ain't shit with him. It's not that fucking far-fetched, but you know, agendas on Twitter was like Khloe should have just like I guess sat there and let it happen and not said nothing.
Right, so. Right. And the thing is, because we kind of talked about it, whatever people's reasons are, they just don't like them bitches. Just admit you don't like them.
Right.
And once we can get there, we can get past all the other foolishness that y'all spit on the timeline. Them bitches is on your list, and anything that come up about them, you're gonna be the complete opposite regardless. That's how a lot of people are, and I've just came to that conclusion.
Yeah, and they not clean either, because they got some shit where like they done stole people's mans and shit too. But you know, in the immediacy of it, if you Khloe Kardashian, I still see how you could do all that shit and still be mad. Like
right.
I'm sure Kevin Hart's wife Aniko was mad when he got caught cheating, even though she was cheating with that nigga to get with him.
Correct.
I mean, it is what it is. People gonna have them same emotions, and you know, people don't live their life in the macro, they live it in the micro, and in the micro you still gonna be upset that this nigga was out here cheating, and you gonna also be partially upset that it was with somebody you knew as opposed to some stranger. Now I'm not sure why that makes it any better or worse for people, but the idea that people was acting like that was a foreign concept because Khloe Kardashian brought it up was kind of ridiculous.
Right, and like she was not supposed to have any response about it whatsoever. I seen regular ass niggers fall out about shit like this up and down and across my time.
Was that the hard R? What is going on over there?
Niggers.
What is going on? It sounded like you threw a hard R in there. Is everything okay?
Everything's okay.
Okay, I'm just checking. This just came out of nowhere on me. But yeah, it happens all the time.
I mean, and it's not to, people are complex and complicated, and people are not, they don't follow this one line. And I think that I understand why people feel certain ways about them and shit like that, because they're celebrities. So when people think when you're a celebrity, you're just supposed to just deal with whatever people say about you like you're not a human being. but they're human beings, and you know, this shit is public, so they feel like they should talk about it publicly. It's their right to talk about it publicly. Just because you might say, well, I'm gonna keep it off, well, that's your personal choice.
It's that thing where I don't think people can separate it. I think we're a little bit immune to it because we don't fuck with them.
Mm-mm.
So it's just like, we don't care. We just look at it like, if this would have happened to anybody, this is how it would have played out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot of people that are like in the minutia of, and then she was fucking this person when so-and-so was dating this person and this was happening.
Yeah.
And Odell Beckham had a girlfriend and she tried to holler at him. And, you know, you see all the details and I'm like, I understand that. I understand all of that. Be that as it may, you can be a person that has done all those things or watched other people do all those things. But when it happens to you,
right,
you still gonna feel a fucking way. It's not even rocket science. It's not even deep.
Mm-mm.
Everybody has done some shady shit in their life, period.
Everybody.
Maybe not relationship wise, but you done did something. It's like this. If you fucking have stolen candy from a store before, you stole. But if you go out to your car and the motherfucking ashtray is missing, you gonna be mad. You're like, somebody got my change. Like, it's still gonna... You care because it happened to you. You don't be like, well, this is karma. I guess I need to be mature about this and never express my feelings to anyone. No, you're going to be out there acting stupid about it. We got entire TV shows based off of people acting like hypocrites and being stupid on reality TV.
Come on.
It ain't even that fucking deep.
No, it's not.
So I refuse to like engage it on a deep level, you know, yeah. And then people turned it into like Jordan Woods was representing for black people by kissing this dude or letting him kiss her, but then it was too complicated because like she had been drinking, and then at first it was she was blackout drunk was the rumor, then it was she just was tipsy, and then it was he kissed me knowing this nigga is fucking, you know, like involved with my friend, and then and people was like, yeah, it's really his fault, he kissed you, but then she's kind of blaming herself. It was mad complicated on that shit. It felt like a Facebook meme. Well, if you start picking a side and being like, this is the only way to view it, you're going to end up basically being a hypocrite on something else where you're like, I didn't feel that way when this happened. So I just ejected from the whole fucking thing. It was so messy and, mm-hmm. and weird. Only thing I will say that I did find to be on a deeper level than, the general, you know, shit that people was going back and forth on. It did feel good to see a black girl who was in this situation that I would assume would be overwhelming, right? Because you find out, you know, your friends who are essentially white girls, Armenians, whatever, your friends are like, fuck you that easily. They don't want to hear your side of it. They're just done with you. They're in the public talking shit about you before you even talk to them on the phone, anything. Khloe Kardashian's like, you didn't call me and apologize. Like, well, phones work both ways. Could have said, can you explain what happened? Anything, right? So it did feel good to see Jada use her platform, which even though it's on Facebook, is essentially a black platform as far as the red table.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there's some complicated shit between Facebook and her and all that, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But to see a space run by a black woman for black women, essentially, come and say, tell your side of the story and tell it out of like love and accountability and support, and to be like, we're not gonna let these people just create a narrative for you. We're not gonna let them like monetize it to where like you gotta go on their show and explain it, and they get to kind of look like the, I don't know, the matriarchs of it. You know what I mean? That felt dope. That felt a bit deeper than the like, who's to blame? Fuck the Kardashians. Bitch, you look like OJ. It felt deeper than that to be like, okay, maybe we're on to something, and Jada's like made a space that, you know, can kind of be used to support people that normally would be like torn down completely in that situation. I thought that part was dope. The rest of it was kind of like, you know, gossip and shit.
Yeah, you know me. Half the time, I don't know who's who. Like, right. I'm just keeping it real. I know Kim and the rest of them, they all just kind of mix and blend together, y'all. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, that whole world is kind of fucked up and trash, so. You know, and I still don't get, I don't understand it, but it's just not for me to understand, like,
mm-mm.
How the fuck they're so hated, but yet so fucking unstoppably famous and rich. Like, I don't get it at this point. You know, it seemed like everybody that's either everybody's lying or I don't know. I just can't figure that shit out. And it's not even worth figuring out for me because it's like anything they do, it goes viral, whether it's good or bad.
Correct.
Like you got Kim trying to get people out of prison going just as viral as Chloe can't keep a man. Like it's just the same shit to everybody. So.
Right. And like I said, and like you said, it's just me. A lot of the things with them, I just don't care enough. And anything that I learn about them is because it actually just flows enough where it eventually will, it slowly flows down my timeline. I don't go looking for it. I don't go hunting it. Initially, I will see it because so many people are talking about it.
And I hate to be cynical, but I can never tell what's for their show and what's for not. Like,
same.
I know people always, anytime I've ever tried to, not even tried to watch, but just seen that show on TV, it just always looked mad boring to me.
Yes.
And maybe that's because I come from the ratchetness that is Love and Hip Hop. So, you know, I'm used to just shit being not even complicated. It's just straight up like, nigga, I smack your face. Nigga, I fucked your bitch. Nah, you gonna fuck my bitch? I ain't gonna do that like that right in front of my bitch. You know, like, I'm used to that level of like directness. And then the Kardashians be like, should we have like tuna salad sandwiches or like cucumber sandwiches? And I'm like,
I don't know. That can't
be a whole 60 minutes of stuff that y'all watched and then bought their makeup for.
They be like, let's go to the spa.
Yeah. So I don't know, dawg. It's not really.
I mean, I like the spa too. Please don't get me wrong. But yeah, it's just boring to watch them go to the
spa. I refuse to invest in. Like Randolph hit me up on Twitter. I can't remember the question, but it was like, what are we gonna do about this Jordan Woods thing? And I said, man, I'm gonna be real, I'm not investing any seriousness into it. I can't, man.
I can't take it seriously.
I got these jokes.
That's all I'm here for, the jokes. I'm not gonna put up for a debate. It ain't life and death. they're not making any fiscal decisions in my life. I'm good, but that's just me.
I think the joke I made was, if Red Table start letting people on the show that fuck Tristan Thompson, they ain't never gonna run out of content
ever.
Cause that nigga be fucking. The real question is this: who's pregnant?
Somebody is.
Tristan don't be acting up like this until somebody is in that third trimester. That's when he start getting the wildest.
Yeah, and you gonna find out somebody is 3 to 5 months pregnant.
Remember, you heard it here first. Someone gonna pop up soon with another Tristan Thompson baby, cause he be cool for like 6 to 9 months of the year, and then he started wild, and we were like, what the fuck? Tristan fucking everybody. He on TV, he in the club, he don't even care, he getting caught. Is he even playing basketball right now? Right? I think Tristan Thompson not a basketball player who cheats. He's a cheater that happens to be good at basketball.
Come on.
He like, professionally, I'm a cheater. That's what I put on my resume. I cheat on women, okay?
Basketball, that's my other job.
Yeah. I'm also okay with basketball, okay? I make a little bit of money from that. But nah, this nigga, I don't know what they thought they could tame that nigga with. It was obvious. Anyway, good luck.
To everybody, thoughts and prayers.
Terry Crews is in the news. He got slammed for calling kids with single gender parents malnourished. Now, wasn't as straight up as that, but close enough. You know, like it wasn't. He didn't just tweet out, if you got same-sex parents, you malnourished. He didn't just tweet that by itself, but he thought he was making a point. And here's the thing about Twitter. You can't really make no points like what he was trying to make on Twitter. You need, like, context, a person to back that shit off of, some editing, you know. And I think Terry kind of came to prominence on social media in a very traumatic way in the first place. And I don't know that he's ever really recovered from that. Like, he's one of those people that like searches his own name and hops in people's mentions. Very like stuff that people were doing in 08-09 Twitter,
because it's new to him, right?
Yeah, but like, he need an advisor or somebody to be like, Terry, you don't have to say everything.
No, you don't.
You know, like, I'm not trying to tell him what to do, but break it down. I don't want nobody else to hear the sound. Shh. He can use a little bit of that sometimes, and it's okay. You're not a bad person. There's a lot of pressure out there, you know. When you're in his mentions, I'm sure there's a lot of, you ain't say nothing about blank, and then that makes him feel like, I gotta talk about everything. You don't have to talk about everything.
No, you don't.
Some people gonna be mad no matter what you say anyway, so
no matter what you say.
people want to like him. He's everywhere. He's a very likable, charismatic guy.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what do we really know about Terry Crews and his politics and his shit? We know how he feels about toxic masculinity, but we don't really know how he, like, is he a feminist? What text has he studied to be a feminist? Who does he, you know, who does he learn from? A lot of stuff that you learn from Twitter is like Twitter feminism, but that ain't exactly always mainstream or the healthiest or the best way to learn it.
No, it's not.
You know, getting dragged ain't always the best way to learn some shit, or yeah, watching people, somebody get dragged, or watching people move the goalpost on folks. It might not be a good way to learn.
No.
So he's been widely criticized for saying children of same sex or single parents will grow up severely malnourished. Okay. Okay, so the tweets I saw, let me see if I can find the actual tweets, because he didn't just say it that simply. He was trying to be like, children need fathers and male role models and father figures and shit in their life that are healthy and positive, not, you know, like, because basically like that energy does matter to the child. And then he was saying, I think of parents like vitamins. And they said, well, what if somebody grows up, you know, in a same sex household or whatever? And he was like, that child will be they can be fine, but they might be malnourished. And it's like, that was a horrible analogy, homie. And yeah, Charlotte should have pulled up right when you realized that you was about to say that stupid shit. And he deleted that tweet, but screenshots are forever. yeah, it sounds like, let me see if I can find the actual tweets though. He said he was bothered by, oh, that a female journalist had written an opinion piece about how boys should be taught to grow into successful young men. And he said, how would she know? Opinion, yeah, so that New York Times article said opinion. Why does Obama scold black boys? And he said, if a successful black man can't advise the black male youth of the next generation, who will? The street. That's who. And he said, another thing that bothers me, by the way, that part, I'm not really bothered by that first tweet, because I think people go too hard on Obama when he talks to black boys in a room of black boys in a program for black boys and says shit like, yeah, you don't have to need women twerking around you and have big ass gold chains to value yourself. And a lot of the people you see on TV that do that are actually insecure. That's not a Obama respectability thing. A lot of us think that, and we're not saying that on some coon shit.
Mm-mm.
I hate when people try to take respectability so far that it's like, you can't say nothing to nobody. Like, no, there's some shit where you can be like, this is not a great decision, dog. You don't have to emulate this. We get inundated as black men, black boys. We definitely get inundated with, you're not a man unless you're abusing women. You're not a man unless you're sexually active and provide, like, fucking multiple women. You're not a man if you're not flossing, like, actively, like, putting your wealth everywhere and all that shit. He didn't say you can't be rich or whatever. I know people have mixed feelings about getting money, but he didn't say you can't have money or a good job or even you can't have a good woman. He was just like, this is an alternative to this shit. I have one good, strong woman at home that I love the fuck out of. You don't need to be out here at like a Rick Ross video every day. It's okay. Okay? Like, that's just another way. He sits there with Steph Curry, Mr. Aisha Curry, talking to these kids about this shit. It was not some attack on all black people and some shit, but whatever. I know he's had other comments that were more fucked up that I would say qualify, but I think now we're in this cycle where like anything he says when talking in that room, people are waiting to pick it apart and be like, this just like the other time. And I didn't find this time to be that way. Anyway, well, Terry Crews fucked up though. Another thing that bothers me is that this op-ed was written by a woman about how boys should be taught to grow into successful young men. How would she know? Men need to hold other men accountable. Yeah, I could see where that would be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that whole statement right there is a motherfucking problem.
Yep.
Because that's loaded. Like, when you say that, you're hitting a lot of triggers in the black community. A lot of them, all at the same time. You know, you're hitting single moms, you're hitting ain't shit niggas, you're hitting deadbeat dads. Like, I'm just keeping, like, you're hitting a lot of triggers at the same time, and people are gonna come to you with all these different angles.
He's also telling women, basically, they don't know shit about men, boys becoming men. And that's some bullshit.
I mean, look,
it's just no other way to say it. That's some bullshit. I mean, there's too many men that have been raised by their mothers. There's too many men that, had fathers that weren't, you know, weren't great and still found a way to be a good man. And so he shouldn't have said that.
Because to me,
even if I understand the merits of what he was trying to communicate, which is that, that masculine energy and the idea of a good man holding another a boy accountable and saying, no, this is what you need to be looking at, because I am a man and I'm a good man and I know what it takes to be a good man, and you're a boy and you will be judged one day the way that I am judged. So let me tell you, because I have a great father. My father's had talks to me that are just talk that only a black man can have to a black boy. That's just it. It is what it is. Like, and I'm saying it because he's lived that experience. It's not conjecture. It's not, I saw what happened. He's like, this happened to me and this. And that speech is not what people might think it is. A lot of that speech is like, you don't need to be out here trying to fuck everybody. You don't need to, like, there's times when my dad taught me about not fighting. Cause the world taught me to fight, right? The world was like, you're gonna have to knock a nigga out. My friend's parents that told them, if you come home and you didn't fight the boy, I'ma whoop your ass. My dad was the opposite. Right? My dad was, if I found out you fought somebody and there was any other fucking way out of it, you gonna deal with me when you get home. Now that's something that only he could say because I trust him because he experienced it. You know, my mind as a child at that time was like, okay, my father has lived this life. So he's guiding me with the best of intentions. Doesn't mean only he can do, you know, only he can ever give that speech, but there was an innate trust there that happened because I knew he had lived that experience. And I'm sure that women have that as well. I'm sure that LGBT people have that as well, where it's like another person that has lived my experience. There's something there, but it's not, and if you haven't lived that experience, shut the fuck up. It can't be that.
Right, and that whole statement is misogynistic,
right?
You know, and that's another one of them triggers that you raise up, because the only reason why you're saying that is because you're a straight man.
Yeah.
like you would say, how could she know she a woman, bitch? Right. What, like, women don't fucking interact with men. Like, women actually, not trying to be funny, don't know men better than themselves. Because I understand that what you're saying, what, you know, what he's saying about men being in, you know, their children's lives. And the definition of a man is wide, but from his perspective, he's just saying, like,
you say a very cishet male, right, patriarchal,
right?
He's not allowing for a lot of shit because he's only thinking it's privilege. He's thinking of himself and that's it,
right? And that's where the problem coming in from the first place is, you're not considering anybody outside of the norm. So you're already speaking from a place of privilege, and then you turn around and you use this misogyny to insult the woman. Like, that woman don't really, like, women, men act like women don't understand them, particularly in like straight relationships. And the thing is, okay, let's say you got a good dad and he teaches you everything, but women actually have to date and fuck and deal with these men. So their perspective on manhood and becoming a man is different from this man, because he has never had to see what happens to the other side. What happens to these women you fucking leave? Like, what happened to those women? What happened to them? Like, that's a part of quote unquote manhood, that when men talk about it, they're only talking about it from, I'm going to tell you my life and my experience, but they're not telling you the whole story. So, you know, I understand what he says about that balance, because you do have to have a balance to that. You know, and that's what kills me when people talk about, you know, a man can only teach a boy how to be a man, but you also need women in there too. It has to be a, I'm just talking about like if you're talking about like a standard relationship, because right. You also need women to come in and be like, you know what? Okay, I hear what your daddy's saying, but I happen to be somebody who actually has dealt with multiple men, and they're all not the same, and you're gonna deal with boys that are not like your daddy. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that you should expect too, because it helps make you a round person. But my thing is, he fucked up by just trying to do the normalization of a two-parent household, because there are multiple households. But like you say, because he's speaking from a place of privilege, he's not even considering the multiple ways, because the nuclear family, I'm not gonna say it's dead, but the nuclear family is not the norm. What America considers norm is not the norm. You have a family, a definition of a family has a broader stroke than it used to have, and so when people want to put it in that box, people fight back. And I understand that form of fighting back, because you can have two moms and be just fine, two dads and be just fine, multiple moms and dads and be fine, like they were saying,
one,
right, or one, or single mom
or none,
or
sometimes
single dad, right.
I mean to me it's like, because on Twitter, you know, at least Black Twitter, like there's a big war between gender all the time, so it's very much like men this women that all the time. But I would say essentially no gender is essential to a child,
right,
man or woman, none of them are, right? Like I understand the way that people have been socialized to feel about that, but the truth mm-hmm. of the matter is, you have households where it's two dads,
right?
You have households where it's two women. You can still raise a healthy well-adjusted child in those households. Mm-hmm. So the gender is not necessarily that important.
Mm-mm.
I understand Terry's original point of, this is a person who has lived this experience talking to other people that he loves who have lived this experience, and so judging it harshly from the outside of that experience to him may feel like, why are you intruding on this space? This is a Black male moment of him talking about to these kids, and you are judging it on some, like, you're coming into it kind of with a loaded opinion of, you know, almost as if this shouldn't even exist. Like, I read that article in the Washington Times, and the only program she compared it to was Asada's Sisters or something like that, Asada's Daughters in Chicago. Well, that's not a program for Black boys. So you're comparing it to something that literally is the opposite. Like, it's not even the opposite. It's just completely different. So you're like, why isn't a program like this? Why didn't you name any other program for Black boys that you felt were teaching them in ways that were better than what My Brother's Keeper was? Because that's the parallel that we're trying to, what's better than
right.
this? Show me the counterfactual, because you do have a responsibility, I think, when you take something to task like that, to give me the counterfactual. What is the thing you think is doing a better job? Because when those numbers come out, that's really the only thing that's going to end up mattering. Like, what was the job placement? What were these kids' college graduation rates? Was it better? Because My Brother's Keeper doesn't just take a lot of these programs, what they do is they take the best of the best.
Right.
And so they got kids that were going to be successful any fucking way. Oh, I took a kid that got 1600 SAT. Oh, great fucking job. You did great. You know what I mean? Like,
well, what about the kid that's struggling?
Right.
That's not,
I went to
GED.
I was in En-ROADS. I came from a two parent household. I had great test scores. I had great grades. I was probably going to make it whether En-ROADS hooked me up or not. No offense to En-ROADS. I loved En-ROADS. But I was going to probably make it anyway. Now, if they could have taken some kid that was like, that had dropped out of school and got him out of college and got him in a job placement plan, well, okay, now you did something, which is the task that My Brother's Keeper undertook. And we still don't know if it'll be successful or not. It's only been 3 or 4 years. It hasn't been that long. Mm-hmm. And the main thing that I would have taken from that article should have been, oh, President Obama's still involved. Because what a lot of people thought was going to happen was he would no longer be president, and he would be like, well, fuck this program. I only did that shit to look good when I was in office. So y'all would think I cared about Black people, but I don't actually care about these niggas. I'm going back to being rich and get the fuck out of here. And he's still involved in that program. Anyway, all that shit to say, like, I think it was deeply problematic what he said.
Mm-hmm.
It was very short-sighted, very shallow, full of privilege, and much like the Jordan Woods Kardashian thing, I would not build a foundation of an argument off of what the fuck Terry Crews said.
Nope.
And I'm sure there's gonna be people that will feel like opposite of, nah, he said some good things, why we always gotta act like Black men ain't shit and Black men not important and we don't want them in their lives and what about all these people that, you know, they're mad because they had absentee fathers or they had fucked up fathers that, you know, they were around and they hurt the child by being around? Like, there's gonna be a lot of people that want to bring into every single scenario. And the end of the day, Terry Crews is not somebody that I really feel like has put in the work and the thought to be leading these conversations. It's kind of like Killer Mike. I understand like people like Killer Mike and his provocative statements, but has he really put in that much work to be the leader of these conversations? You know, when you bring up something that's just a little outside his purview and he gets mad, attacks you, and you know, when he's often wrong because he's looking to attack people that he disagrees with. You know, I still remember he attacked Joyanne Reed, mm-hmm. had to walk that shit back. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's kind of interesting, you know, so I just thought he was completely out of his depth. So yeah, and I think that men need to hold men accountable shit has been completely taken out of context now, because it's not men need to hold men accountable, so shut the fuck up, women. Well, that's the same fucking thing that was happening in the first place. No, it's men need to hold men accountable, but can't we do that in coordination with women, with trans people, with non-binary people? Like, can't we, if like, it's not replacing what people are saying with ourselves and being like, I decide. So I think that's a big, you know, that's a big part, you know. And I do, you know, I'm a black, straight black man as well, so I do worry, and I understand that it's a what's it called, it's a, what do you call the word, disproportionate worry. Like, it's not a real worry, but I do understand. I get a little tight when I see people like shit on black men, and to the point where it's like, black men ain't shit and we don't even need them, fuck them all. Like, I do go like, damn man, there's a lot of people that could benefit from a good black man in their life. There's a lot of people that can benefit from that. I don't feel like we just trash and ain't shit and there's no value in us and fuck us and we're not worth anything. And I know some people go that extreme, whether it's jokes or serious or whatever,
from hurt and pain.
Yeah, and that's because people been hurt. But the irony is, if you wouldn't have had the kind of black man in your life that hurt you, or black men many times, multiple men, then maybe you wouldn't feel that way. But I'm not it's not my job to fix it, and I understand that that's just one of the things you have to take. Like, it's just, okay, some people just gonna say all black men ain't shit in your face, and you just gotta be like, all right, yeah, if that's how you feel, I'm not gonna argue with you. What the fuck am I gonna say?
Correct.
But you know, at the same time, you know, it is I can see that trepidation in Terry Crews, because he's surrounding himself with that like kind of black online feminism brand that is a lot like, yeah, we're lifting Terry Crews up as an example, but we don't really want his opinion on this shit. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't really here for you to start talking, bro. We just wanted to say it happens to y'all too, and that's why you should trust and listen to us. And that's really what it seems like happened. And people started lifting him up in ways where he's not really vetted. So he has said, I've reiterated many times that same-sex couples and single parents can successfully raise a child, but I believe paternal and maternal love are like vitamins and minerals to humanity. No matter where you get that paternal and maternal love, my purpose is to give paternal love. As she says, love is not gender. This woman said, love is not gender. The child would not starve with only one gender loving them. And then he said, but they will be severely malnourished. And that's the one he deleted.
Yeah, because that is a problem. Yeah. And you're making this assumption that, let's say you have a single mom, everybody, sometimes parents die, you know, there's a lot of things that happen why a woman is a single parent. People just see a particular single black woman, they just assume that the daddy is alive and he ain't shit, and that's not always the situation.
Yeah, it, like I said, man, the Terry Crews shit is like, it's a Facebook meme, man. Mm-hmm. Because the idea of there being no value in men, specifically black men, being around children, being around their wives, being around, like, sometimes it feels like people want to go so far to prove a point that it's almost like, well, you kind of making the same point white people make, you know? And it's like, there's value in all of us.
Yes, it is.
But I understand that it's been so unbalanced and so fucked up, and it's so patriarchal and so misogynistic that you almost can't trust that. You can't trust somebody even saying that, because they're really most of the time gonna end up doing what Terry Crews said. But there's value in all of us, you know. There's value in our children, values in our women.
It's a community thing,
right? And in the community, what happens is men are often the ones, straight men are often the ones told you're the valuable one, and then through your value everyone else will be valuable. It'll trickle down value, and that's bullshit. That's not how it works at all.
No, it's not,
you know. But fuck, man, I wish he hadn't said shit. He said, you apparently thought, someone said, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? We all trusted you. You only for you to turn out to be misogynist, homophobic asshole. What a joke you are. And he said, you apparently thought I was your puppet, but I have a mind of my own. I can see and think very clearly. The phobic tag is the most feared public tag next to racist. I don't fear because I am neither. Bullies come in all shapes and sizes. He since deleted the two tweets that seemed to cause the most upset. He said, he also added, I have another very controversial statement to make, and I will since I'm quote unquote canceled anyway. As a human being, there are things you can only get from your mother. So, you know, and I think also, it's funny because I remember when he kind of came back to prominence because of the Me Too thing, being like, ain't he the nigga that was like, I don't watch porn or masturbate anymore, and he told the world all that, and he's also the guy that went on The View and being like, only men can teach boys certain things. You can only get this from your father. And I remember at the time being like, well, this won't last long. I actually gotta give him props. It lasts a lot longer than I thought. And I still think some people won't. He'll still be okay after this.
Nobody get canceled.
Yeah. Like, his ego's bruised. You know, he's very sensitive about people talking shit about him. I get it. But, he'll be all right. You know? So that's when I tell people I don't really fuck with celebrity on that level of like, we need so and so to speak about this. This is why. Cause they're just like you and me. They don't have it all together. They don't know everything. It's not like they went to school for this shit. Something happened to him and then he was kind of thrust into the middle of this movement and he ain't got no bona fides. Right? He ain't take no classes. He ain't read nothing. He hadn't learned nothing, at least publicly, that he's acknowledged. He just freestyling it like everybody else. Not to mention, he's a devout Christian. No offense to my Christians out there, but more likely than not, that means he got some fucked up views about some certain things when it comes to gender, homosexuality, and stuff like that. You hope that he's not one of those, but come on, you can't know.
No, you can't.
We see that all the time. All the time. We're like, I hope this person ain't too fucked up. And they be like, well, as a Christian, and we all go, oh, here we go. Let's see where they going with this one, y'all. Well, as a Christian, I just think two women shouldn't be, oh, damn. You know, so you just gotta not put these niggas on a pedestal in the first place. Don't trust none of these niggas. You'll be okay. Promise you. Don't trust me. You'll be okay.
You will be all right.
Nobody got this shit figured out. There's times I listen to old shows and be like, the fuck was I talking about? It's just human being. You're a human being. All right, let's get to some fucking with black people, guys. Let me see. Here we go. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game goes all around the globe, finds different articles, make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's see who's fucking with us today, guys. Oh. The cops who shot dead unarmed Stephen Clark will not face criminal charges, DA says. Stephen Clark was the man that was shot in Sacramento. He was shot in the back a whole bunch of times. In the backyard, some people, while running away, it was caught on camera. No charges.
Yeah, I think they said they ended up shooting 20 rounds.
Yep, he shot as he ran from the cops into his grandparents' backyard. The announcer came after a 70-minute monologue in which Schubert, I guess that was the district attorney, revealing delved into the personal life of Clark, revealing he had taken drugs at the time of the fatal shooting. Oh, that old cliche. And had searched on his phone for the quickest way to commit suicide. So he decided to run from the cops and get killed by getting shot in the back. That does not, were any of the Google results the quickest way to commit suicide? Run from the cops and get shot in the back and killed? I feel like that's probably not, it's probably not up there. What does that even fucking matter? He also searched bondage porn, so come on guys, you know how it is. I mean, it's like
a shut case.
It's really like it's his own fault if you think about it. Yeah, according to the DA, 2 days before he was shot dead, Clark was involved in a domestic dispute with his mother, with the mother of his two children, Aiden and Cairo, who were 3 at the time. So yeah, they doing that. He was no angel. He was a black person that wasn't perfect. So the cops killing him, you know, it's like they had a sixth sense. They showed up and they just knew all that. They didn't, you know, it took them, you know, months of Google and researching all his equipment and all the shit to figure it out. But the cops that killed him, they just, it's like they knew. When officers arrived at the home to photograph Manny's injuries, Clark wasn't there. But over the next 12 hours, Schubert says he said to have attempted to call her 76 times. So essentially, he was an abusive father or a boyfriend or whatever, ex. And therefore, you know, police had to kill him. Even though that's not what the call was about and they didn't know that at the time, they just, it was like God made it happen. Previously, the officer said they believed a vandalism suspect had a gun. Why were y'all gonna kill a vandalism suspect? Vandalism. That he was suspected of vandalism, and let me check the penalties for that in court. Don't see death penalty on here, this list. Interesting. Clark's family, including his two sons, his parents, his grandparents, filed a wrongful death suit in January, seeking more than $20 million from the city. Mercadal and Robinette alleging the officers used excessive force and that their son was the victim of racial profiling. One of the officers who shot Clark is black. They always like to bring that up. The other is white.
Don't care.
So half the bullets are racist, but the other ones were just black on black crime. Passions were more inflamed by conflicting autopsy reports. Police said Clark was facing officers when he was killed, moving forward with his arms extended and an object in his hands. Police video of the shooting does not clearly capture all that happened after Clark ran into his grandmother's backyard. It shows him initially moving towards the officer who are peeking out from behind a corner of the house, but it's not clear whether he was facing them or that he knows the officers were there when they opened fire and shouted gun, gun, gun. The video shows Clark staggering sideways, falling on his stomach as the officers continue shooting. Dr. Bennett Omalu, the pathologist whose study of chronic trauma encephalopathy in football players prompted the NFL to the dude from Concussion. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. The official autopsy he said the autopsy conducted for the family showed the police shot Clark 7 times from behind. The official autopsy made public later said Clark was most likely shot as he approached the police. Well, that's the official one. So yeah, they didn't face any, they're not facing any charges. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
It's always 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even when we expect it, even when we know, still 100, dog. Like, never get over these, you know? It's another black person dead. They always vilify you in the end. I don't know what they're gonna do if they kill me or what they'll find an episode of the podcast or something and be like, this nigga needed to die. And that's really all they gotta prove. Like, they don't even gotta prove it got nothing to do with the what happened right then. They just gotta prove on some level I did not deserve to be here on this earth. And it works for most white people. They will accept that. Any excuse. He had drugs in the system. Which drugs? Well, you know that marijuana makes them crazy. The blacks can't handle it. They get extra violent. They had the Cohen hearings, I think is his last name. It was on TV all day, like Friday and Thursday, I think. And there was this one round of questioning I'm just play the video. There was like this, heated exchange where a black woman was used as a prop.
Just to make a note, Mr. Chairman, just because someone has a
sorry. A black woman was used as a prop by Representative Meadows, who's a Republican, and he had been the most fiery defender of Donald Trump the entire, you know, time. And at one point he brought out a black woman who worked for Donald Trump and essentially said, this black woman would not work for Donald Trump if he was a racist. Think about it.
Yeah, a black person in America with a job. What are we talking about here?
You know, black people don't work for racists, y'all. I think the poll for this week, for this episode will be, if you are a black person, have you ever worked for a racist?
Yeah, that'll be the poll.
Let's see what percentages are. Let's see what we think, will happen with that, y'all. But yeah, he tried to just black woman out there to be like, you are insulting her, you're insulting Trump. And so it got around to everybody gets 5 minutes, and Rashida, I think it's Taleb or Talab, I'm just messing her last name up, Rashida T, basically said, yeah, let's talk about that moment that happened, you know, now that it's my turn. That shit was racist. So let's go to that exchange.
Person of color, a black person working for them does not mean they aren't racist. And it is insensitive that some would even say it's the fact that someone would actually use a prop, a black woman, in this chamber, in this committee, is alone racist in itself. Donald Trump is setting
Mr. precedent. Chairman, I ask that her words
Donald
be
Trump
taken
is setting
down.
A president. I reclaim my time.
Mr.
Donald
Chairman,
Trump is setting a president.
Mr. Chairman,
that the highest office can be a
Mr. Chairman, the rules are clear.
Now what you hear is Mark Meadows
cover up and hold on to.
What you hear is Mark Meadows interrupting her 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
To basically tell her, nah, fuck that shit.
But it is racist. Don't nobody give a fuck of that. Yeah, it is fucking racist. All the niggas in the country go to work every day, and a high percentage of us work for people that are racist, bosses, managers, supervisors. That don't make you not racist.
Yeah, and he wants her cut off. He wants her words cut off before she can finish her 5 minutes so that he can have his retort. By the way, this is another reason voting matters.
Come on now.
Because her, Ayanna Pressley, AOC, they wouldn't be in that room if people didn't get off their ass and go and vote for them and ask the pertinent questions that we at home want to know the fucking answer to. You know, like, people tell you your vote don't matter. I feel represented right now. I'm like, she representing. Appreciate you, sis.
Right. Because nobody else was going
to
say anything.
To break campaign finance laws and constitutional clauses. What we have here, Mr. Chairman, is criminal conduct in the pursuit of the highest public office by Mr. Cohen and Individual One. I hope that the gravity of this situation hits everyone in this body and in Congress and this country. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I yield the rest of my time.
She got that Individual One in there, too. I see you, boo. I see she got that Individual One tee up in there. Oh, man. All right, back to the meltdown this white man about
Chairman,
to have.
I ask that her words, when she's referring to an individual member of this body, be taken down and stricken from the record. I am sure she didn't intend to do this. But if anyone knows my record as it relates, it should be you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, I would like to...
Hold on.
I want the words read
back. No.
But we want to know exactly what she said about a colleague.
Excuse me. Would you like to rephrase that statement, Ms. Talib?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can actually read it from here. Just to make a note, Mr. Chairman, that just because someone has a person of color, a black person working for them, does not mean they aren't racist. And it is insensitive that someone would even say it is racist in itself and use a black woman as a prop to prove it otherwise. And I can submit this for the record. If a colleague is thinking that that's what I'm saying, I'm just saying that's what I believe to have happened. And if, as a person of color in this committee, that's how I felt at that moment, and I wanted to express that. But I am not calling the gentleman, Mr. Meadows, a racist for doing so. I'm saying that in itself, it is a racist act.
Well, I hope not, Mr. Chairman, because I need to be clear on this.
Now, here's the thing.
What's it called? He just looks so shocked every time I go to his face.
Here's the thing. she would have been well within her rights to call him a racist. But that isn't what she said. She said the act was racist.
Right.
He wanted it taken out because his fucking feelings were hurt. But he did it. Not to mention he's defending a fucking racist that is the president of the United States. They call country shithole country. She brought up all this within her statement. I think someone was cut off when I started it, but she brought all this up. She didn't just call out of the blue racism. She made a case in her little five minutes, the only little, you get 5 little minutes to put this together. And she was like, this motherfucker racist. And you bringing that black woman up there to say he ain't racist because she got a job is fucking racist too. And he's like, well, look at my feelings though. But I know black people.
This particular, well,
Mr. Meadows, wait a minute.
I've defended you about false
accusations. Mr. Meadows.
He is having a fucking meltdown. I think he's talking to Elijah Cummings, who's a black man, who's governing the proceedings, and being like, I defended you, you're black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having a breakdown. Anything I can do to show I'm not racist.
Anytime your privilege is brought up, it's an attack. They feel it as an attack, man.
I'm the chair.
Yes, sir, you are.
Thank you. I will clear this up. Now, Ms. Tlaib, I want to make sure I understand. You were not intending to call Mr. Meadows a racist, is that right?
No, Mr. Chairman, I do not call Mr. Meadows a racist. No. I am trying, as a person of color, Mr. Chairman, just to express myself and how I felt at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so, just for the record, that's what was my intention.
All right. Mr. Meadows.
Mr. Chairman, there's nothing more personal to me than my relationship. My nieces and nephews are people of color.
So?
This nigga crying.
So?
They don't even, man, let me tell you something, man. I know it's probably better this way. And it's going to sound like I'm saying the backwards. And I understand. How much time I got, Karen? Is it time up yet?
Four.
Okay. Five. We'll go to the next session in a second.
Yeah.
They do not make races like they used to.
Mm-mm.
I mean, the craftsmanship on this newfangled racism, this ain't Jesse Helms. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm. Like, that old nigga said, yeah, I did it, and I hope they burned in hell. He'll let you know up front, yes.
That's why we got to throw away all our, you know, I'm not my ancestors, you could catch these hands. All them shirts need to be thrown away, because they dealt with some real racism. Like, not niggas that start crying when you be like, yo, what you just did was racist. They used to be like, yes, it was, nigger, next.
Come on.
And this dude like, I am not. I have two black labs at home, and they are both happy dogs that I feed every day. Now, what kind of racist would have that? Okay, I put salt and pepper on my food.
Ah, a little bit of pepper.
Not just the salt. Okay, he said his family members of color though. He didn't say black. I don't know. He's like, they're Italian.
Not many people know that. You know that.
They're Irish.
Chairman. And to indicate that I asked someone who is a person. Said,
not that many people know that. Maybe it's because you're racist.
It's not something that y'all start a conversation with.
Of the Trump family who has worked for him, who knows this particular individual, that she's coming in to be a prop. It's racist to suggest that I ask her to come in here for that reason.
The real racism.
What the fuck you did?
The real racism is you noticing that I'm racist.
Right.
You racist motherfucker.
Right.
God, you niggas.
I love to pull that bullshit.
You niggas are so racist.
Now reverse racism.
Mr. President.
Oh, no, my point.
Mr. President.
What the fuck is this?
She's a family member.
Did you say Uno?
Right, that's what it feels like every time they do that. You be like, that shit is racist. They be like, reverse racism. Oh no, my point. What you gonna do, bitch?
Draw for the color is red.
Come
reverse
on.
Racism.
The color is brown. Reverse racism. The fuck is this?
My point. Bullet ball.
Come on. You be looking like, how you changing the rules?
Family, she came in because she felt like the president of the United States was getting falsely accused. And Mr. Chairman, you are You and I have a personal relationship. This
why Elijah Cummings' face look like this nigga just stop. Can you stop talking? Jesus. We could have been moved on by now. Nobody cares.
That's the thing. Nobody gives a fuck but him.
Elijah Cummings, man, he did a whole turn in his chair like, oh, come on.
You still talking?
It's not based on color. And
what the fuck is it based on?
This direction is wrong.
Why did you bring up there in the fucking first place then?
Right. A fucking.
Right. And that's the thing. You act like people don't see the shit. And then people go, no, you're not racist, but the fact that you brought this white woman in here on behalf that you're trying to represent the president to say because she works for the president isn't racist.
Right.
That's dumb ass logic.
You're not even a racist. I'm sorry to use this gender term, but you're like a pussy of a racist. You're not even like a racist, right? You're a weak racist. You're a whack racist. You're a testicle racist, okay? Testicles are very weak. They hurt. They just tapped. They said they never birthed anybody. Testicles. You are testicles of races. Well, you're the worst kind of racist.
A little bit of wind, they get discomfort and potty over.
A little soft, sensitive ass baby racist. Don't even stand firm in your racism. Now, take it back. Take it back. Strike it from the record.
You get a little bump. It's a mental breakdown.
Let me go to the next session real quick, guys. We'll be right back. Yeah. In the next session, let's go ahead and play the rest of this.
I want to thank the gentleman for what you have stated. If there's anyone who is sensitive with regard to race, it's me. Son of former sharecroppers that were basically slaves. So I get it. I listened very carefully to Ms. Tully, and I think, and I'm not going to put words in her mouth, but I think she said that she was not calling you a racist. And I thought that we could clarify that. Because you, Mr. Meadows, you know, and of all the people on this committee, I've said it and got in trouble for it, that you're one of my best friends. I know that shocks a lot of people.
And likewise, Mr.
Yeah,
Chairman.
But you are. And I would do, and I could see and feel your pain. I feel it. And so, and I don't think Ms. Salib intended to cause you that kind of pain and that kind of frustration. Did you have a statement, Ms. Salib? I'm going to yield to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and to my colleague, Mr. Meadows, that was not my intention, and I do apologize if that's what it sounded like, but I said someone in general.
And that's the part that bothers me, is that she had to apologize.
Right.
Because his feelings was hurt. But she wasn't wrong. Mm-mm. And that Elijah Cummings had to do the, he's my friend. That's the fucking problem with Congress now. You know, a lot of y'all motherfuckers is friends, and then you get on TV and shit, and you get in your bag, and you portray this, we don't get, you know, this man is wrong, racism is wrong, I stand for this, but I'm also really cool with this guy who's completely the opposite. And they went and dug up comments from him later where he was a birther, but he ain't racist.
Come on.
You know, he had other racist scandals and shit. Nah, he a racist. I don't give a fuck. Now, I will give it the last 30 seconds, and I'll come back to another point I want to make too.
And as everybody knows in this chamber, I'm pretty direct. So if I wanted to say that, I would have, but that's not what I said. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to clarify. But again, I said someone. And again, that was not referring to you at all as a racist.
Well, I thank the gentlewoman for her comments. I thank the chairman for working to clarify this. And I appreciate the chairman's intervening.
Right. Tears though. So the point I want to make is this. Twitter is so much easier than real life. Because on Twitter you can just say that motherfuckers did a racist act, I said what I said, blah blah blah. But people are starting to see something, even with Ilhan Omar, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and we haven't really seen it with Ayanna Pressley yet, but in this case Rashida Tlaib, it's different when you're responsible for what you're saying and it's in someone's face and people can hold you accountable and the general public. The way you communicate it is just as fucking important as what you're saying.
Yes, it is.
You can say the absolute truth and be dead right. And all those people that sat up there and chastise, like the Obamas, and chastise, you know, some of these public black figures that, you know, John Lewis, people that have lived through some shit. And like, well, like the way they say things, they need to, you know, they basically, they some coons. They not saying it hard enough. You need to go out there and tell them motherfuckers blah, blah, blah. Well, now you see what it's like. You can't. You can't just, if you want to get things accomplished, if your goal is communication in a way that is assertive, but also accurate, that is also, most important thing with communication, that it works. You do have to temper your words a little bit. You do have to measure your shit out. Because she had to apologize for that. Ilhan had to apologize for her comments, that people saw as anti-Semitic. Like, you do have to be careful. And that's not a knock on them at all. That's just saying, like, that's the game. You know? And these other people have been around in the game longer. We're gonna have to watch these people kind of take their lumps, but she wasn't wrong. Everyone at home, all of us went, yeah, that shit he did was racist. We all said it on Twitter when we saw it. We all looked at that black woman who used to be a wedding planner, for like one of his son's weddings. And now she has a government position in under Trump because he just gives any black person he knows that will work for him a position. Yeah, we all sat up there and said they're using her as a racist prop. And she said it the way we felt. And I'm glad she said it because I felt that. And then she had to walk it back because she's at work. Because guess who else works for a racist? Right. She does. 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Yeah, it was 100 for me as well. Wish I had some lighter ones today, but that was it, nigga. These was terrible. try to see if I found one. Okay. IBM, the computer company, has apologized after their online job page asked applicants to identify whether they are yellow or mulatto.
What? What? Yellow like yellow rice? What is we talking about here?
Yellow.
Yellow like how a lot of people call light-skinned people yellow. Yellow like that, you know, insulting to Asian people, that yellow. What are we talking about here? Yellow what?
Yellow or mulatto. I'm assuming red bone was taken.
I'm assuming so.
Good hair was also not on the list, but should have been. According to the Register, an engineer who was in the process of applying for a position for IBM's website clicked on a drop-down menu which said, please state your ethnic group. The issue was the choices. The options asked applicants to choose from an option of yellow and mulatto, both outdated words for Asian people or a person with one white parent and one black parent.
Mulatto was an option?
I said that in the title of this when I read it.
I'm sorry, but yeah, when you said it, I was like, oh. What computer programmer thought that was good? And me and you been in the business world long enough to know this went through several improvement channels before it got approved to go on the fucking website.
Candidates could also identify as indigenous, Caucasian, or black. Nothing offensive about those, but mulatto and yellow though. I wonder what options didn't make the list. Take got some white in you out. It's a little too offensive.
Take jigaboo. Jigaboo too harsh. Coon, I can't use that one either.
Yeah. Quadroon. Can we put quadroon in it? Nope. Okay. That's a little too outdated. All right. Chinaman? Is that? Oh, nope. No one likes that anymore.
They didn't say mixed. Somebody said mixed.
Mixed with something.
You better mix with a little something.
Mutt. Put mutt on there and just see what they say. Yeah. The drop down asked him to identify from options including yellow and colored. Ooh.
Oh, we bought the classic back.
That old gym, you say. You don't say.
See, that's it. See, that's why I don't do it, because I would pick color just for the hell of it.
I know I put nigga on the census. I wrote it in, too. I'm not joking. I put a picture and put it online. I was like, race, nigga. See what options we get next time. See you in 10 years, census. Those questions were removed immediately when we became aware of the issue, and we apologize. IBM hiring is based on skills qualifications. We do not use race or ethnicity in the hiring process. Okay. They went the opposite way. We don't even see race. Anyway,
that's not true. We wouldn't have got these colors in the rainbow box if you didn't see it.
0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100. It shouldn't have been on there in the first place.
I give it 100 as well. That was ridiculous. Old school racism. And lastly, straight out of Virginia, First Lady Pam Northam, the wife who stopped,
who intercepted
the moonwalk, the moon landing, Ralph Northam's moonwalk.
Mm-hmm.
She got in some racist trouble just in time for the end of Black History Month.
She was almost in the Women's Month because she almost had it all.
It's all right because she's saved by the bell.
Ha ha!
February 27th, she apparently handed African American student cotton while on a tour of slave quarters.
And why was she handing them cotton? Was it part of the future? Was that, why did you hand me cotton?
And then she asked them, imagine being an enslaved person.
You know what? Would one of them children be wrong if they fucking threw that cotton back in her face? I'm like, bitch, what is this?
In a letter addressed to Pam Northam, Senate page says, 8th grade Senate page says, Northam actions during a tour of the executive mansion's old slave quarters were beyond inappropriate, especially considering the recent events with the governor. You know what would help him really imagine if he was an enslaved person? Maybe put some black on his face. You know, just black it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now do a little moonwalk for me, okay? Now imagine you was a slave. I was the master and I said, moonwalk for me, boy. What would you do? Mm-hmm. Show me a little something. Mm-hmm. By the way, man, tonight is the night that Leaving Neverland or that Michael Jackson documentary comes out.
On TV?
Yeah, on HBO.
Oh.
So,
what time?
I don't know. Sometime tonight. Just know that this is the last. You guys got about 3 hours to play some, all the Michael Jackson
song. Oh, you better play the hits.
You got about 3 hours to go through the hits because it's going to be from this point on, it's over. Okay? The party is over. Out of time.
You better listen to Michael Jackson in your own time.
Mm hmm. Stop sharing them playlists after this. It's going to be an aggressive act. I'm telling you now. There are only 3 black pages in the page class of 2019. When you went to hand that cotton, you headed it to another African American page. Then you proceeded to hand it to me and I did not take it. The other page took the cotton, but it made her very uncomfortable. I will give you the benefit of doubt because you gave it to some other pages, but you followed this up by asking, can you imagine being an enslaved person having to pick this all day? The student described Northam's comments and demeanor as unwelcoming, writing, from the time we walked into the mansion to the time of the cottage house, I did not receive a welcoming vibe. It was very testy to know I had to go somewhere. I had no choices to if I went, and I had to be respectful and be on my best behavior, even when the people in position of power was around were not doing the same.
Right, and what would happen if you did that? You have one of these wokety woke kids. They'd be like, yeah, my grandma told me, yeah, I know what it is like to pick cotton.
Well, I mean,
a fucking fool.
It sounded like she did have one of these wokety woke kids. This motherfucker was super woke. They was like, I had a terrible time. Right. Even when I got there, right. I didn't want to go.
Right, it was like, bitch, you gonna hand me some fucking cotton? Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
They were like you. They were the first person to go home and tell their mama, this is you. You can believe this. She gave me some cotton. You got it. I got it in my back pocket, mama. You know they ain't throw that shit away. Here you go, mama.
0 to 100, Karen.
100, fuck her.
I give this. Huh. Yeah, no cotton. Imagine if it was a slave person. She did give it to other students, I guess, who weren't white. But she started with the 2 black ones. That's tough. It's tough. Because if she only gave it to the white ones, I feel like I would have probably gave her a 0. If she gave it to the white kids and said, now imagine being a slave.
I would probably be
like, that was a good job. Like, because them motherfuckers don't have no idea. But to give it to the black ones, it's like she tried to be PC, but she shouldn't have been. Like she tried to be on some, I don't see color. I just told all the kids.
Did she give it to everybody, or she only gave it to the black students?
No, she gave it to the black kids, but then she also gave it to some non-black kids too. But still, she gave it to the, sound like she gave it to the black ones first.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna give it a 75. I'll give it a 75. I think 100 would be only giving it to the black kids for me. This for my scale. But I'm gonna give it a 75. I feel fucked with, but not as fucked with as it could have been. All right, we talked for a long time. Let's go ahead and go to Sword Ratchetness. We'll do Guess the Race another day. Yes, I have seen the dude working out in the gym with the sword. Okay.
Yeah, me too, y'all. Me too.
I saw it. A Manville man found guilty in sword attack over parking space. A Manville man was found guilty for allegedly slashing another borough resident with a sword several times over a parking spot. Damn. Jared Rosano, guess the race, white, 36, of Manville, was found guilty in the second degree aggravated assault and fourth degree unlawful possession of a weapon in a jury trial presented over by Honorable Judge Anthony F. Pacheco Jr.
What a name.
On June 13, 2018, around 10:28 p.m., a 911 call reported an assault. When police arrived, they found a 40-year-old Manville man suffering from several deep lacerations to the head, arm, and also had two of his fingers nearly severed as a result of the assault.
Woo-hoo.
An investigation found
that leg too. I mean, we might as well just
wipe me down.
Come on, do the whole body,
shoulders, chest. An investigation,
knees. Let's do it all.
An investigation found that Rosano returned to his home to find his driveway partially blocked by a car. He went to the house across the street and demanded the car be moved. The victim came out, apologized, and moved his car. However, Rosano then called the victim over to his driveway and started attacking him with a sword. Wow. So the person was nice as they could be, and he still got attacked. The victim then tried to block the attack with a contractor's level, which he had gotten out of his car to return to a friend. The victim was transported to an area trauma center for emergency treatment, underwent multiple surgeries. Sentencing scheduled May 3rd. Rosano is facing a term of imprisonment of 5 to 10 years on the second degree aggravated assault conviction, up to 18 months imprisonment on the fourth degree unlawful possession of a weapon conviction.
Fucked him up for life.
Right. You're gonna get 5 or 10 years for basically attempted murder, because you hit him in the head. You tried to kill him.
Right.
All right, y'all, we'll be back. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate y'all. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.